regular August meeting of the Mason County Federal Mineral Leasing District will come to order. The first item in front of us is the approval of the agenda as presented.
Oh, okay.
Are there any proposed changes?
I'm going to hopefully accept them as sent out.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I will second that.
Moved and seconded that the agenda as presented is approved. So the first item, or excuse me, the second item is general public comment. Yes, ma'am.
I want to thank the lease district for giving money to the Clifton Fire Department. It really came in handy last Friday. Really, I mean, they were well garbed. I was down there, so, yeah.
Well, this was the Palisade fire, okay.
Yeah, they were the main firefighters on that.
East Orchard Mesa?
So they were getting our stuff dirty?
They were getting it dirty.
Yeah, break it in.
Good. Well, thank you for that. Any other public comments? Cool. Has the board had the opportunity to review the July meeting minutes? If so, I will, if there are any changes, proposed changes, then I would entertain a motion to approve it.
I would move accept those minutes as written.
Thank you. Second. Thanks. Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Minutes approved. Consent agenda. Has the board had the opportunity to review the four items on the consent agenda? And do we need to move something to the main agenda?
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Thank you.
Second up.
Moved and seconded. All in favor, say aye.
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 Special today, thank you very much, Dr. Perry, for coming here. So you're next.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Thanks for having me. I remember you guys invited me back in May, but we couldn't make the June or July dates work, so I'm glad we're able to get this to work.
We're not as popular as we used to be.
Don't have as much money, that's why.
Okay. I don't need sound, so if there's a way to turn that, doesn't matter.
Will that play?
Well, I appreciate you guys inviting me. I put a lot of effort into this report. Mind if I, it might be easy for you.
I'm gonna let you.
A couple of you have already seen this report, so I'm gonna have to be lively so you don't fall asleep. So back in April, we released through the Unconventional Energy Center a report on the economic contribution of oil and gas. And it was a two-part report. The first part of the report wasn't about economic contribution per se, it was about what happens to employment in the Western Slope when rig counts move up or down, or what happens to employment on the Western Slope when natural gas prices move up or down. So I created a fancy statistical model that's been used by the Federal Reserve. I adjusted a little bit for Western Slope variables, and then ran it to get the results, and that's what's in the first part of the study. At the end, I'll go over just a couple bullet points of the results from that. But what I want to talk about today is the second part of the study, which is the economic contribution of oil and gas. And what I mean by economic contribution is I mean the contribution to regional GDP. Do you guys remember what, I'm sure you guys know what GDP, but gross domestic product, sorry.
That's
I mean,
okay.
The first week of classes, I went right into the Socratic method, okay? I apologize for that. So, just, it's instinct. Okay, so gross domestic product is the final goods and services for the Western Slope. It's tracked for a bunch of counties around here, and specifically I used a program called InPlan, which estimates it at a really accurate level. So that's what I want to talk about today. Can we move that over a tiny bit, or how do we?
It's going to be right there. The screen on here.
Okay, so I have a wide screen.
Yeah.
Never had. I ran into all sorts of problems presenting, but I've never had the widescreen problem, so I don't even know how to fix it.
Well, doctor, we're 120 years old, so.
Well, anyways, hopefully we can get this fixed. If not, we can just scoot it over a little bit, and I think that will solve the problem. And we can see most of it, right?
Yep.
You can't fix
we're
it.
Good.
Okay. So. All right, we'll just roll with it. So the counties that I covered were Mesa, Garfield, Rio Blanco, Delta, Gunnison, and Moffett. And we just decided on that based on where most of the gas production was. Some of these counties are a little bit smaller in terms of production, like Delta, but I wanted Delta in there because there's peripheral employment that's caused from Garfield and Mesa County from the oil and gas industry. You get some construction work, you get some people commuting to Mesa. So it's a small amount, but I wanted to be as accurate as possible. And as what this report includes, is it includes employment and wages, severance taxes, federal mineral lease royalties, ad valorem taxes, sales taxes, and then royalties that are spent or distributed into the region. And that gets a little complicated. I'll get to that in a second. We've got to make an estimate of that. But everything else is an exact number, or at least as close as we can get to that. So you don't just add this stuff up and come up with a number. A good economic contribution report is going to think about how a real economy works. Well, in a real economy, you're going to have leakages from that economy, right? So when you guys go to Applebee's, not all of the money you spend at Applebee's stays here. Some of that money, or a lot of it, is kicked back to their corporate headquarters, the profits are, and is distributed to shareholders, and so that's a leakage from the economy. You also have things like supply chain effects. So a supply chain effect would be something like, I'll stick with the Applebee's example. If we go to a restaurant a lot, they're going to buy from a local drink distributor. So they might buy their Pepsi or Coca-Cola, whatever they're selling, from a local distributor. And so now Coke sales are up regionally, and it estimates with each industry how much of that is regional versus outside of the region or national. And then there are these things called multiplier effects. So if we go to Applebee's and we spend money, that's not where the spending ends. If we all started going out to eat a lot, what would happen is restaurants would have to hire more people. And then those servers would have additional money to spend that they'd go to Walmart and spend on a TV or something like that. And then Walmart will have more activity. And so they'll have to hire an extra person. Then we'll have another person with a wage from Walmart. And so that multiplier effect continues on. It diminishes each round. We call it each round effect. But this program has estimated multipliers for each industry and each spending category at the regional level. And so I was able to estimate the multiplier effects from the oil and gas contribution. So all of those things are in here. And sometimes it can, you know, if you just add everything up to begin with, sometimes this adding these things can put it beyond the initial adding, or it can put it below. I've seen it happen both ways. But either way, it's significantly more accurate, depending on what the money's being spent on. And so for employment, I looked at all the Bureau of Labor Statistics codes for oil and gas. Extraction of gas and crude petroleum, natural gas liquids, drilling and oil, support activities for oil and gas field machinery and equipment. And so I had these, and from these I was able to estimate, through multiplier effects, the construction impacts, because that's always the big argument around here is, well, if you just add up these workers right here, what about all these other workers that are peripheral employment that are a result of the oil and gas activity? So my neighbors are welders, you know, and I grew up in a welding family. You know, when I was a teenager, we welded on a natural gas pipeline. I used to work with my dad every summer. And so we were not technically counted in here, but I know that, you know, my college tuition in part was paid for by welding on a natural gas pipeline in Utah. And so because they don't code construction workers perfectly associated with oil and gas, we have to estimate it from this type of spending. So I do include more types of employment than just these key industries, but I had to start with these key industries and then estimate things like construction spending that are a result of the industry. Does that make sense? Because I know that's a big criticism. A lot of people will just add these up and say, oh, look, there's only a couple thousand oil and gas employees, but we all know that a lot more people's livelihood is dependent on oil and gas than just the people who are coded under these categories. So those people are estimated as accurately as possible. Okay, so I might have to look and because I can't see the first couple letters. So the direct effect is the first part. Direct effect is going to be the initial contribution from the industry. So you can see, so this says direct effect. I don't know if you can see that D, and I'm sorry it's cut off, but.
We can see it.
Okay, so this is, I can't see it, so I'll have to look over here if I can't figure out what the word is, because they all kind of sound the same. But, so we have about 5,600 people from the direct industry contribution that are employed. The indirect effect is going to be the supply chain effects, and then the induced effect is going to be the multiplier effect. And then this gives you the total effect. Now, this isn't the end of the story. Okay, this is just the direct effect of employment. I haven't counted all the other categories yet. This is just taking those oil and gas workers, plugging them into a regional model that has every industry connected to every other industry, and seeing what that wage income creates. And Implant has really good county level, and they even have city level estimates of the average amount of activity between industries. And so it's really good at predicting, if you put in oil and gas employment, what other industries end up benefiting from it, because it has data over 20 years on this stuff from every county in the United States. So we end up with a 9,392 employment. We get labor income, which is wages, of 661 million, and gross regional product, which is the Western Slope equivalent of gross domestic product, so our gross regional product, we're looking at almost $1 billion, and that's without adding the other categories. This is going to be the bulk of the numbers. This is actually the easiest part for me because this data is so good. And then the other parts that I'm going to show you took an enormous amount of time and contributed, I think you'll see a little bit less. But GRP is really the number we want to look at. So just from employment, we're looking at about $1 billion. Total output, I'll fill you in on that right now because it shows up a couple times. This is kind of a different measure. We have this thing called double counting in economics. And double counting is this. Let's say you had a car and you're trying to decide how we count this car as GDP. Okay? Well, if you counted the steel that was sold to the car maker and the glass and the rubber, and then you counted the car company's car sale, that would be double counting. Because all of those inputs are in the final product. And so for GDP, we only count the final sale of the car. So that's this. This is just the car. But this number includes the car and the glass and the rubber and the steel. Okay, and it's not GDP, it double counts, but it's an interesting measure because total output is a number that reflects how industries here actually feel. The glass company felt, $10 million worth of glass. The rubber company felt $30 million worth of rubber. And and then the car company sold a bunch of cars for their total amount. They all felt it that way. GDP, just the final good amount is counted, so the $15,000 car. But this total output counts all of it, and it's kind of an interesting thing to look at.
And that basically counts how many hands were on it.
Exactly, yeah. It's input cost. So, next category, that's the direct employment. This is, I think you guys might know a little bit about this, I don't know. Yeah. I guess you're on the federal mental lease side, but I'm sure you're still really familiar with this. So, I took this from Dole's website. If I can share this, I was appalled at how complicated these FML and severance tax formulas are. I mean, it was crazy. It's almost like, and there's no media in here, right? Nobody's, okay.
No.
There's nothing. It's almost like they created it this way, so it was hard for me to figure out what was going on. And that was just my, why is this as unnecessarily difficult? So don't
this
ever.
This isn't the only instance.
Yeah. But anyway, so it was an enormous amount of effort to track this money, because as what I had to do is I can't track the money that leaves the county. That's not an economic impact or contribution, because a lot of that goes to Denver and is distributed to counties that don't have oil and gas. So I can only count the money that ends up coming back. And that was complicated, because I had to track money that was only associated with the severance and federal mineral lease that left the counties. And so it included me calling the Department of Local Affairs. They were so sick of Nate Perry by the end of this project. But they're also extremely cooperative and very nice people. I was very impressed with their willingness to talk through every single one of these charts in enormous amount of detail. But so, we've got a lot of different areas that we get money from. We've got the local government severance tax fund. So we've got the Energy Impact Assistance Fund. We've got direct distribution that shows up in both severance and federal mineral lease. This shows up in severance and federal mineral lease too. You've got the perpetual fund, and there's all an assortment. I have a list, but there's an assortment of organizations that get money from federal mineral lease and severance. And some of them I had to estimate it because they have a big budget. And I have a list, I'll show you more detail, but they have a budget. They say, well, we have no idea of the federal mineral lease money, what was spent in Mesa County. So as what we do is we'd say, well, what are your total percentages of spending in Mesa County? And then proportion it to the amount of federal mineral lease and severance money to try and get an estimate of how much of that money actually makes it back to the Western Slope. So we had to do some of the, I don't have two personalities, I am just me. I don't know why I said we, I'm used to referring to me and my wife, I think. But anyway, so, and here's the federal mineral lease flow chart. I'm sure you guys probably know this better than I do. But we've got our non-bonus state public school fund, we've got that in there. Colorado, I can't even read that on there.
Water Conservation.
Okay, that's the angle I'm at.
Yeah, so the Colorado Water Conservation Board, school district direct distribution, local government permanent fund. Some of these were a little bit tough to track down because, I'll get into that in a minute. And then we have local government mineral impact fund, and then direct distribution and energy impact assistance that's grouped with this. Mm-hmm. So anyways, so here's direct distribution to the Western Slope. So that's, you know, basically is what it is, this game of finding all the boxes, finding all the sub-boxes that aren't listed here, and then tracking down money. And then figuring out how much of that money came from the counties, went to Denver, and then I counted only what came back, because that's all you can count in an economic contribution.
Sure, commissioners would be interested in that number. How much went to Denver and came back?
So I won't bore you with all the little numbers here, but we have total and then adjusted. So you can see, you know, for Mesa, we have the severance direct distribution, federal mineral lease for municipalities and county, federal mineral lease school district, it's all part of those initial two boxes. Here's the numbers, and then I had to adjust it for, how do I put this? Some of these funds are mixed, right? And so not all of it's federal mineral lease, and so I had to find how much of it was federal mineral lease and adjust it properly. So that's what this adjusted section is. Okay, energy impact assistance fund, that's another one of those boxes. Awards total, about $9.5 million. Input into in-plan based on their expenditure type. I can't remember if I have the list. Yeah, I do have. No, I don't have the list. Anyways, there's all these little things that you guys and like the firefighter stuff. I tracked as many of those things at the grant level that I could and read the description. And then I coded it in in-plan based on what it actually was. Because if you guys fund, let's say, a construction of a new building, that's going to have different multiplier effects than if you contributed to a scholarship and they went to CU. Does that make sense? And so if I had that level of detail, then I coded it exactly what the expenditure was to get the most accurate picture possible. So here's a list of the programs that are involved in this instead of going through every single box. We have direct distribution, about $2.9 million. This is the adjusted number. Direct distribution for municipality and county, $7.5 million. Direct distribution school districts, about $600,000. Energy Impact Assistance Fund, $8.5 million. State Public School Fund, $2.6 million. Small Communities Water and Wastewater Grants, there was no funding for the study year of 2017. I did 2017 because that was the data that was available. There's always a lag with GDP data. And so 2018, when I started this, was not available, so we used 2017. Federal Mineral Lease Revenue Fund, no funding. I listed it though because sometimes they get funding. We have Tier 1 programs that are listed, you guys probably know this, but they come through the Perpetual Fund. COGCC, this is the estimated amount of their total budget that comes from the Western Slope. Well, it's the estimated amount of budget that comes from Federal Mineral Lease and Severance that comes from the Western Slope. So, Colorado Water Conservation Board, $79,000. Division of Reclamation, Mining, and Safety, $358,000. Avalanche Information Center, $48,000. Colorado Parks and Wildlife, about $960,000. Colorado Geological Survey, the only ones who didn't respond to me. I don't know why. I kept calling. They just were clearly ignoring me. Now I can't read it.
Water Supply
Reserve Fund, $900,000. Species Conservation Fund, $825,000. Aquatic Nuisance Species Fund, $528,000. No funding for the rest of them, but you can see that there's a lot of, and it's just because there wasn't a lot of overflow, right? There's that complicated formula with the overflow from severance and federal mineral lease. Some of these get that overflow funding, and there hasn't been overflow since, I think, I don't remember the year they told me. It's been several years, though. So there was no funding for these, but anyways. And then you can see some of them got overflow funding in because I had to do it by fiscal year, because the government does things different than the economy. So, I had that estimate there. They got funding the next year. State public school fund, FML, local proportion. So this is the state public school funding. You can see the total is 2.6 million. So total school funding, proportion from federal mineral lease, and then proportion from oil and gas, because federal mineral lease, like I said before, also comes from other extractive materials, and this report was just on oil and gas. So I proportioned it all out based on data that shows what the proportions are. So if you just take the economic contribution of severance and federal mineral lease, then you're looking at a gross regional product contribution to the Western Slope of about $22 million. And that's when you add everything up, add supply chain effects, subtract for leakages, and add multiplier effects.
And that's just a year.
That's just 1 year. That's so this is going to be added to that almost billion number, right. And then I'll give you the final number. I'm just going step by step so you can see.
And this is severance.
Yep. So that's severance and FML. So this is ad valorem taxes. This is the money that's paid out on property for the usage of this stuff. So ad valorem tax received adds up to about $86 million. And you can see Garfield is the biggest beneficiary of this. Talking to Garfield about the ad valorem tax is an interesting conversation because it's just a huge part of their budget. So Rio Blanco is next, and then Mesa third, and then you can see, obviously Delta's pretty low. But again, they were just in there for that peripheral employment from oil and gas. And they have some wells out there. Sales taxes. So I also made an attempt to figure out how much sales tax was collected at the municipality level due to oil and gas. Not every township tracks this. And that's why it's actually not that big of a list. There are maybe three or four entities in each of these counties that tracked it. And then the really small counties, nobody tracked it that way. And so it's a little bit undercounted, but I can't count data that I don't have. And so I came up with 2.4 million. I imagine if we actually had the full data, it'd probably be closer to 3.5 or 4. But when you see the final number, this is a drop in the bucket, so it didn't really affect the results that much. I'm just me being thorough because it's an academic report. Ad valorem and sales tax contribution. So when you plug those into the model, then you get a total economic contribution of $73 million. The reason it's a little bit lower than the number before is there are a lot of leakages with this, but that's just how it goes and why it's more accurate than just adding it up in general, because these things happen in the economy. But $73 million is the total economic contribution of ad valorem and sales taxes, which I don't think people think about this. I think people know about employment, and they know a little bit about severance, maybe, if they read the newspaper, But I don't think anybody thinks about ad valorem unless you work in government. Specifically, work in government in Garfield County. Then they know all about it. I also tracked down royalties, which was the more challenging part of this project. I could find for certain state royalties. State royalties are redistributed back to counties through the BEST fund. A lot of state royalties stay with the state, and there's no way to trace any of that money back to the Western Slope. But some of it is traceable in the form of the BEST fund. So here's the project description. I tried to code each of these monies as accurately as I could, equipment replacement, construction, so we got the accurate multiplier effects. So we came up with an amount of about $3 million on state royalties that are a result of Western Slope oil and gas. And then private landowner royalties is the only part that I really had to make an estimation. And so in the report, I offer the final result without private landowner royalties and the final result with my estimation of private landowner royalties, because the data is difficult. So I cannot read that, I have to read over here. Top natural gas producing companies in the Piceance were contacted and asked to provide a list of royalty payments. Approximately 40% of production was represented. A lot of companies declined to share the royalty information despite a non-disclosure agreement, so I tried to get 100%, but it's just what it is. So I understand. I get private business and why they might want to protect that. But
that's because they cheat.
Well, I hadn't considered that, and I definitely didn't put that in my report. I just, anyways. So with this, I extrapolated to find total royalties based on production value. Since there's
maybe
no...
they didn't want to share who they were paying and how much.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and that's...
That's cheating.
That's not cheating.
But with 40%... But with 40% on the industry, honestly, I can extrapolate from 40%. It's this other part that's less accurate here. Since there's no data on the income level of the royalty recipient, the royalty amount of $22 million was spread through Implan's various income... No, that's not what I was going to tell you. That's true, but that's not what I was going to tell you. I thought that was the next point. So here's the problem with this, is I had to proxy it by zip code, okay? Because how many people own land here, collect a royalty, and live on the beach? You know, I personally love the mountains. I grew up in Utah. But if I had enough money, I'd probably live part-time at the beach. And some people live full-time elsewhere. And so I can't just count all this money, so I had to proxy it. So I asked these companies to provide the zip code. No personal information, just the zip code of where the check was written. But see, then that has a problem, because they might be writing a check to their attorney that lives in Grand Junction, but they actually live in New York City or something like that. It was a no... So I made the best estimate that I could on this part. The rest of this report was not estimated. This is the only, the rest of the report is very accurate. This is the only part I had to estimate. So I proxied local by zip code, because that was the only logical thing to do. And so then I plugged it in, and I plugged it in by spending patterns. I spread that money that came back to the Western Slope in terms of royalties based on consumer spending patterns, because I don't know what they're spending the money on. And so I just plugged in, based on consumer spending patterns, what the average consumer spends with extra money. So is what we get when we plug that in, because there's a lot of leakages from this type of thing when you get royalties. And it's, quite honestly, usually high-income earners. So there's a lot of leakages with that. We're looking at about $10.5 million. Now, in the final results section, like I said, I have this included. And then I also omit it in case people say, well, you know, I don't like the way that estimate was done. That's okay. I wasn't super happy with it either, but I was charged with making the estimate. So I did the absolute best that I could. So that's what I do when I'm in those situations. You know, here's the results with, here's the results without. But here's the bottom line. 10 million is a drop in the bucket to this total number, and it doesn't change it that much. Because the total economic contribution is over $1 billion. So we're looking at about $1,083,361,743 is my estimate of the total economic contribution of oil and gas on the Western Slope. And that is about, see, it's been 3 months since I presented, but if I remember right, it's in the next slide, it's about 9 to 10% of total GDP for the Western Slope.
Wow.
Well, let me see, hold on. I might have mixed up a number. I'll wait until he's done with the picture. Okay, this will have the exact. So the total economic contribution resulting from the oil and gas industry in the Piceance is about over $1 billion. As a comparison point, total regional GDP for the six-county area is $11.8 billion, equating to 9.2% of total gross regional product. Total employment resulting from the oil and gas industry totals about 10,959 people. For scale purposes, there are 164,956 total jobs estimated by Implan in the region, equating to 6.6% of total jobs. So you're probably thinking, well, why is this 6.6%, this 9.2%? It's because these jobs pay more than other jobs. That's why. And so you get, it's a smaller percentage of total jobs, but it's a larger percentage of wages, leading to a larger percentage of regional GDP.
Can I ask you a question?
Of course.
Now, in all of this, did you take into consideration the product flare-off of methane that the counties are losing that money because it's flaring?
No. So, because if it's not in a, how do I put this? If it's costing them money to facilitate the flaring, then I have an estimate of it.
Okay.
Because it would show up in the oil and gas employment. So if they need somebody to sit there and flare the gas, then that's an employee that's counted in my model.
Okay.
But in terms of the lost, or the opportunity cost, or the lost income from that,
yeah.
No, that does not belong in GDP.
Okay.
And I've gotten a lot of, and that was a great question, I get a lot of emails, and that's always what they want to ask, well, why didn't you count this? Why didn't you count that? It's because I followed the GDP calculation precisely, because that was my goal, is to get an estimate of the percentage of GDP that this industry contributes to. And so there are a lot of things that you can kind of think of on the periphery. Well, did it take this into account? Did it take this into account? I took it into account if it shows up in the GDP calculation. Yeah, so that would be in there if they hired an employee. But in terms of lost gas income, that's not in there.
Okay.
It's pretty negative to go to Piedmont anyways, because we have infrastructure here. We don't play much gas.
Do you prefer Doctor or Nathan?
Oh, you can call me Nathan. That's
fine. So, Nathan, is there anything else that comes close to 9.2%?
Yeah, healthcare. I haven't done an economic contribution, but I guarantee healthcare is the largest industry in, well, for sure, Mesa County. I have to think about the Western Slope. I would bet, I would,
closer.
Yeah, it's got to be. Healthcare is the biggest almost everywhere. So.
Except government.
Yeah, if you count government as an industry, then government. So I can actually pull this data for you. I have this in my economic newsletter every quarter. I just can't recall it off the top of my head. I can answer that with a couple of clicks if you really want to know afterwards. Or I guess you guys have more meeting. You should subscribe to my economic newsletter, though, because I put what's called QCEW data up. And that I do it in order of total wages, and you'll see, based on that data, the biggest industries in Mesa, Delta, and Montrose counties. And healthcare is always at the top. If you consider government an industry, it's going to be up there. You're going to have things like retail sales, and then one other, and then usually oil and gas comes in. Yeah.
Now, when you talk about multipliers, when you were talking about it, I visualized this concentric circle that keeps getting bigger and bigger. So you were looking at oil and gas as the origin of all the multipliers, not taking into account, you know, the, like healthcare and like we were just talking about.
So
as a possible multiplier to even, well, oil and gas. I'm
I
confusing. I'm just trying to understand how multipliers work.
I understand.
Okay.
So basically, there's two types of reports, and you guys are probably used to economic impact reports. That's a festival, okay? Let's think of Country Jam. I did that one several years ago. So people come in from outside the county, right? And they spend a bunch of money here in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And that's new money. And we just look at where that new money is spent, and then we look at the impact of that. It's actually a very simple kind of analysis. And you do it in in-plan, you just plug in the numbers. Economic contribution is significantly more complicated, because what you're doing is it's almost a counterfactual. You're taking an industry out, and you're saying, okay, now what happens? And then that's your economic contribution. And as what you see here, this is going to answer your question,
okay,
is you see the effect on other industries. Because if you lose, in the Western Slope, 10,000 employees, there's going to be less healthcare.
Yeah.
There's going to be less retail sales. And so all of these are interconnected in this model. Okay, it's just that, you know, healthcare's multipliers are implicit in the rest of the economy. But all we're looking at is oil and gas. So when we take that out, those multiplier effects come out with it, and then you have less healthcare. And so instead of having negative numbers, what happens when it comes out? You list it as a positive number. What happens because of its existence?
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
And that's what this is, industry impact. So obviously, this is by industry code. Obviously, oil and gas are going to have, you know, a big impact because it's a contribution of oil and gas. But what we want to do is get down to non-oil and gas. So employment and payroll of local government non-education. 556 employees in Western Slope are essentially support. If the oil and gas industry went away, this model predicts that 556 government employees would lose their job. And if you don't believe that, call Garfield County and see how much of their public funds go to local governments. So, and it's not that they would go away, because Garfield would probably raise taxes on other things, right, and find a way to keep a lot of those employees. But that's a next step to the model. And so you say, you just have a simplified assumption. You take it out, what happens? You'd lose 556. So Garfield would have to raise enough tax money to replace that many oil and gas. Oh, I'm sorry, that many government workers. Real estate, 334. Restaurants, 241. Full service restaurants. It's really detailed the way this model goes. Construction of residential structures, hospitals. So you can see employment to hospitals. You can actually narrow this down to the number of doctors in the model. I just went by bigger sectors. you know, office, oh, office of physicians, there's another one for doctors, service to buildings, drinking places, retail. So anyways, it just predicts, based on how spending interacts between industries at the county level, what would happen if you remove this type of spending? Okay, anyways, and the report has more details, but I don't want to drone on for 2 hours. I would like to show you one thing, though, if I have 2 more minutes.
Okay.
I didn't put this in the PowerPoint because I knew I only had a half hour, but I wanted to at least go over the executive summary from the report. So you can, this is a public report. You can find it on Colorado Mesa University's website if you go to the Unconventional Energy Center. And while you're there, if you're, I write a quarterly economic newsletter that is free, and so you can also search for economic newsletter and subscribe to that if you're interested. I cover some of these things, you know, that pertain to what's going on in the economy currently. Anyways, what happened?
We lost you.
We lost me. Okay, well that's okay. I can read from, I printed it, so. Well, here's the bottom line. I can just read this to you so I don't take all your time. So the first, that was the second part of the study. The first part of the study is on the relationship between rigs, natural gas prices, and employment. So I'm just going to give you a couple bullet points so you have an idea, and then you can look at it if you want. So each change in rig count changes employment by 208 people within, this was a five-county area, within the five-county area of Mesa, Garfield, Rio, Delta, and Moffat counties. Gunnison was omitted because I could not find rig data for Gunnison, and that's why they were omitted. So the first part of the study is five counties, the second part is six counties. So we, I'm getting ready to update my economic newsletter to release in early September, and I always check rig counts. Last I checked, we were at 7, I think 3 or 4 months ago. We've got to be down to 4 or 3 right now, right? 4? Okay.
We still have 1.
And so my model would then predict, if we went from 7 to 4, that we should see 600 jobs lost in that industry due to the reduction in rig count. So you take 208 multiplied by the 3 rigs. At the county level, Mesa County experiences a change in employment of 122 people per rig, while Garfield County experiences a change of 70 per rig. Rio, Delta, and Moffat are all about 15. They get a lot of peripheral employment. Most of the employment, when you do a statistical study on rig count and natural gas prices, comes from Mesa and Garfield. From 1999 to 2009, the effect of rigs on employment is much more pronounced, changing employment by 373 per rig. Then technology changed in drilling, as you guys know, and from 2010 to 2017, the effect on employment goes down to 91 per rig, reflecting changing technology and drilling. If I were doing an estimate as you guys, I would use between 91 and 208. You know, I like to think of it as a range. But the 208 has a lot more data and is more statistically significant. For every change in $1 of natural gas price, and you think of it this way, we've gone from, what, 350 at the peak several months ago to 215. So let's just say a dollar change so we can do math easy. For every dollar change of natural gas prices measured by the Rocky Mountain Opal Hub, I thought that was a good proxy, employment changes by 1,183 people. And so I'm expecting in the Western Slope, if we see a whole, if we consistently stay a dollar less than we were last year, I'm expecting about 1,100 over the, spread out over 5 counties, but mostly in Garfield and Mesa, to be, you know, see workforce reduction. And I've been trying to see it in my employment data because I track this every quarter, but employment is, total employment is actually up. And so I'm waiting for the QCEW data to see what, excuse me, I didn't have to lecture and talk all summer, and now 3 days straight of talking, it's finally getting to me. So I'm going to check this here over a couple weeks when I work on my newsletter because I'm interested to see if oil and gas jobs have dropped, because total employment is up over the last several months. And so that would be good news if we're able to withstand the fluctuation of a swing in natural gas prices. You know, that's always been a big criticism. But I don't know yet, because I haven't dug into the data. But my model predicts, oh, thank you. My model predicts about 1,000 jobs lost due to a dollar swing in natural gas that lasts a year. For the three-county area, so when I just do Mesa, Garfield, and Rio, a dollar change in the price of natural gas changes employment by about 1,400. So it changes a little bit depending on the counties you use. So conducting the same analysis with Henry Hub natural gas price instead of the local Rocky Mountain Opal shows a very similar amount of about 1,300. So either, you know, we're looking at 1,100 to 1,400 job loss for a dollar change in natural gas. At the individual county level, changes in the price of natural gas affect Garfield County the most, changing employment by 828 of that 1,400, while the effect in Mesa County is closer to 600. It was kind of interesting. The rig, when I did it by rigs, Mesa County took most of the hit on employment from rigs. When I did it by natural gas price, Garfield County took most of the hit. I don't have a good explanation. It might just be statistical, you know.
Because Mesa County's a supply center and Garfield County's got the wealth.
There you go. So
service companies around Mesa County.
Yeah. And then every dollar change in the price of natural gas changes rig count historically by 8.8. Now, at lower rig counts the last few years, you know, probably when I do this study again in several years, I imagine that number will be lower. But if you look from 1999 to end of 2017, which is the study area, $1 change in the price of natural gas will change rigs by 8 to 9. So we're at 7, and you know, you get to that low end, and it's not gonna change it by 8 because we don't have 8 rigs going. But we go from 350 to 215 is what it was last I checked a couple days ago. You know, you're looking at a surefire reduction in rigs unless everybody's super hedged. So, and that's not something I can really take into account in a statistical study. So anyways, I hope this information is useful. You know, it's when you do these types of statistical analyses, it's not an exact science, but it serves as a point. Yeah, like a baseline, I would say, for your estimate. And then every cycle in a business cycle is going to be different, but this is going to serve as a good point estimate, I think, for what should happen when we see these changes.
Is this page on your original report?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So anyways, do you guys have any questions? That makes sense?
Yeah.
Put an enormous amount of time into this. This was the biggest project I've worked on, and I've done a dissertation, so.
You said there was kind of a hole in your data for overall royalties on the Western Slope. Have you looked at COGCC, Oil and Gas Conservation Commission data about production levels and tried to extrapolate royalties from reported production?
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
Okay.
But see, that's not the whole. That part I think I have. It's how much of that comes back to Mesa County when I'm using mm-hmm. zip code as the proxy.
Mm-hmm.
So my extrapolation I feel really comfortable about. We have 40, with surveys, I had 40% of the industry representing 40% of production. 40% is, you know, I didn't calculate a confidence interval, but I guarantee it's really good. And so I feel very accurate about that estimate. Is the zip code a good proxy if people are spending the money here?
Yeah, where did the checks go?
That's unsolvable. Mm-hmm. So that was the hole right there.
Okay.
Yeah, but I did use COGCC data on production.
Did you, at the end, were you surprised by anything?
You know, I wasn't. But that's because I track data on Mesa County every quarter, and I see their total wages. And so I had an idea of what Mesa and Garfield would look like. I figured anywhere between 7 and 15% of total GDP. I wasn't sure where it would fall. So when I came in at 9.2%, it didn't surprise me at all. And then honestly, the first part of the study came in the range that all the previous research had showed. It's usually done at the state or national level. So we fell right in the middle of that range in terms of rig counts affecting employment and gas prices affecting employment. So that didn't surprise me either. I thought maybe we'd be on the high end, but you know, it was right in the range. So yeah, I wasn't. So I guess personally, I was surprised how much, you know, money is distributed as a result of federal mineral lease and severance. That was the surprise to me. I had no idea on how much and where the money flows and how many government agencies are reliant on it, I would say. I think there's going to be a lot of structural changes if that ever changed. It would be difficult on governments, but.
And it's to severance tax on wind and solar.
Well, you know, I could do an estimate on that.
There has to be.
There I agree. Power's got to come from somewhere. Yes. So. That's an interesting point.
Have you done any similar analyses for other industries on the Western Slope?
So I've done lots of economic impact and contribution reports. I've done some work on the economic contribution for three trail systems. I did economic impact of Country Jam. There was a nonprofit coalition that wanted to see what their contribution was, so I did an economic contribution of some nonprofit industries. So I've done a bunch of these. It's fun because, you know, I kind of see the economy as a puzzle and I get to pull pieces out and kind of see how big the puzzle pieces are. It's an economist's dream, I guess, you know, to mess around with this stuff. It's what I always wanted to do.
So. Dr. Perry, do you have all this information on in your newsletter somewhere that's
so
accessible?
This report is listed on the Unconventional Energy Center's website.
Okay. All right.
And then my economic newsletters are currently posted on the Business Department's website. You can just search for economic newsletters for that, and then for this report, just search for Unconventional Energy Center, and this will be on the front page. And if all else fails, just email me.
Good. Any more questions? Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you.